This is Peter Rosenberger. This is the nation's number one show for you as a family caregiver. How are you feeling? How are you holding up? How are you doing? What's going on with you? How are you hanging in there with the quarantine? Have you learned some things about yourself as a caregiver through this process? 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840 if you want to be a part of the show. We are live. By the way, I just want to let you know that they did last week. I left you all with a cliffhanger. They were going to test me and see if I had the antibodies for the coronavirus. Well, I don't. And you know why? Because I never got the coronavirus. And so therefore I never created the antibodies. And the doctor was absolutely convinced that I would have it because I've been taking care of my wife as she has had it. And they said, oh yeah, you got it. We're going to test you for antibodies and then we want your blood. And so I said, well, I don't think so. And the doctor called me back and said, well, you must be some kind of caregiver because you didn't get it. And then my wife said, yes, that is right. He is some kind of caregiver. And I never got a fever. I never got sick and had a cough, but that was about it. Well, they tested her again because she's been getting better and she does have the antibodies, but they don't want her blood. She's had too many transfusions and so forth in her long medical history, but she's over it. She's done. She's now tested negative. And they went ahead and did a blood test on it just to be sure and everything. And so she does have the antibodies because she did get it, but she beat it. How about that? She beat it after all she's been through. And she never spent one night in the hospital. She had to have some oxygen, and we took a lot of over-the-counter stuff and things such as that that they worked with, but she did all right. And she has made it through it, so we are rocking and rolling through this process, and, here we go. All right, let's start off with something I want to share with you this morning. Psalm 56:3, when I am afraid, I put my trust in you. When I'm afraid, I put my trust in you. That's what Psalm 56:3 says. I've got a new commentary up at American Family Association. They have a blog called The Stand. And if you haven't read their blog, I would encourage you to do so. You can go to afa.net. afa.net. And you look at The Stand. And I wrote this, and it's titled Beware of Small People with Authority. And I'm not meaning small as in tiny people. I mean just small people that are small-minded. Because what's happening is, and I think you're seeing this across the country, you're exposing a lot of these small tyrants who like to get a little bit of power and start telling everybody how to live their life. And how do these people get power? Well, a lot of times people get power because of fear of other people. And when you're afraid, you want to surrender your liberty and your freedom to someone else to take care of you. And this is what happens. I remember back in the 1992 presidential debate for the it was Bill Clinton versus George H.W. Bush. And some of you may not have watched this, but I remember it vividly. And there was this guy that got up. I call him Ponytail Guy. And he's some guy wearing a long ponytail. And he looked at Bill Clinton and he said, "Be a father to us. Be a father to us." And I was so incensed by that. I thought, Bill Clinton, man, he was on top of that. He was on that like a pack of dogs on a three-legged cat. And he's like, "I'll be your daddy." You know, I mean, he loved that. And I was like, I don't want Bill Clinton to be a father to me. What in the, I don't want any politician to do that. What in the world is wrong with this guy? Well, that kind of nonsense has metastasized across our country. And we're looking to government to be everything to us. And we're afraid, and so therefore we got to have government come in and do it. And then you're seeing across the country what that looks like when government takes control. And C.S. Lewis said years and years and years and years ago that the worst kind of tyranny is that is imposed on you because it's for your own good kind of thing. You know, and when you're a parent and telling your kids, look, you got to do this, is for your own good. I understand that you're dealing with children. Well, we're not children. And the government is certainly not our parent. It's not our daddy. But this is what happens when people get afraid and they start trusting in the government to care for them and look after them, quote unquote, the government. And there are people that are just absolutely biting at the bit to be able to take that power that we surrender so quickly because of fear. Now, let's go through scripture. My dad has taught me for years that everything that we deal with in principle is in scripture. Now, there's nowhere in scripture where it talks about the things I've done as a caregiver. Taking care of a woman for 34 years with a broken body and prosthetic legs and everything else. But there's an awful lot of stuff in scripture about the principles that I deal with as a caregiver. Fear, guilt, obligation, resentment, anger, sadness, despair, all those things are there. Go back and look at the nation of Israel. When they came out of Egypt, how many times did they want to rise up against Moses? Think about that. Every time there was an obstacle, they just wanted to run back to Egypt, run back to slavery. At least they had graves in Egypt, they said. You brought us out in the wilderness to die. We had graves in Egypt. And God delivered them through these tremendous acts. And then they walked across dry land from the Red Sea. And then when Moses goes up on the mountain for a while, they think he's not coming back. We got to have a leader. So they build a golden calf. And then when they finally get over there at Kadesh Barnea, ready to go into the promised land, and they come back with all these reports of how lush the land is. The spies came back, but they said there are giants in the land. The people got afraid. They didn't want to go there either. And then God just said, enough's enough. That was it. And they ended up having the longest funeral procession in history. And they wandered the desert for 40 years until that generation was gone. And the next generation that came put their trust in God. What can we learn from that as our nation has struggled with this sort of thing? You know, where are we putting our trust? When I am afraid, I put my trust in the World Health Organization? Are you kidding me? I'm going to put my trust in governors, a president? You know, I mean, I don't care what side of the political spectrum you're on. If you put your trust in any human being first, before you put your trust in God, you're in for a world of hurt and disappointment. And so what we do is we use common sense. We use good judgment. We follow good, sound counsel. But our trust cannot be in people. It must be in God. Otherwise, we're going to end up capitulating to the fear, and then we allow these tyrants to come up and start running our lives. We'll unpack this a little bit more, but this is a real thing, and you're seeing it. Look at the governor of Michigan, and I just go around the country, and people are afraid, and I get it. There are fear-worthy things out there. We're going to have scary things in our lives. We're caregivers. We know this. We also can put our trust in God and walk calmly in these things because he says he's not going to leave us. 888-589-8840. What are you afraid of? Don't go away. We'll be right back. No matter what comes our way. You believe that? Welcome back to Hope for the Caregiver. This is Peter Rosenberger, 888-589-8840. If you want to be a part of the show, that's my wife, Gracie, who has now tested negative for this. She has beaten the COVID-19, but you know what? She was seeing that before she had evidence that she had beaten it, because she understands that principle, that that's where our trust is. What about you? How are you feeling this morning? What are you afraid of? It's okay to be afraid. There are things out there that are fear worthy. I get it. God knows this. He knows that we're scared. But when we're scared, we tend to turn over control and good sense and freedoms and look at what has happened. Look at what has happened in our country out of fear. And I mean, we don't use good sense. That doesn't mean we act like idiots through this thing and be stupid. Gracie and I certainly didn't. But I asked her, I said, you know, we were in the emergency room and they were testing. She had a fever and she was sick. And they wanted to, we had to go down there because they wanted to run some tests on her, but we didn't spend the night down there. But they said, and I looked at her, I said, are you scared? And she said, a little bit, but I've been through worse. And I think this is where our faith comes in, that God will sustain us through this. And whatever comes our way is not outside of the province of God. Now, we don't have to act like, you know, we're foolish on this. God gave us brains to use common sense. But I can also tell you, common sense will tell me not only just to put on a mask or to use good hygiene around the house and around other people and so forth, but common sense will also tell me that people will really mess you up if you give them authority over you. There are some really funky people out there. And that's what my article's about in The Stand. And if you go out to afa.net, you can read that and see. Beware of small people with authority. I know a guy, a friend of mine, that he had a clipboard-carrying bureaucrat that made a surprise visit to his shop because somebody had reported that people were coming into his shop. And a police officer came behind him. This just happened. And people are encouraged to spy on one another and report people. You got the mayor of New York and all these folks that are wanting people to do that. There is something that is so repulsive to us as Americans that we would have that. They're using drones made by China, supplied by China of all things, to spy on Americans. Honestly. And if you want to see what happens to a nation when you allow fear to control you, simply go back to Scripture. Simply go back to Scripture. All right? Because you will see time and time again what people were willing to do out of fear. And we caregivers understand this. We caregivers understand this. We get this. We have lived with fear. If you've been caring for somebody for any length of time, you understand fear. And it's frustrating to watch somebody go through these things and not know, what are we going to do? How are we going to do this? And Scripture didn't say we're not going to have scary things. You just heard the ad there at the break. Scripture didn't say that this is going to just be all kinds of, you know, walking through the roses here. But Scripture did say he's going to be with us. Scripture did say that he is never going to abandon us. That's the whole point of what I'm trying to communicate this morning. Not what I'm trying to communicate, what I am communicating this morning. Understand that there are very dangerous things that will happen to us when we surrender our free agency as individuals and as a country out of fear. The whole world knows now how to destroy America. You ever thought about that? The whole world knows how to do it. Everybody knows how to cripple the United States of America. Think about that for a moment. Beware of small people with authority. It's an article that I would heartily recommend you reading out at The Stand, AFA.net, The Stand, AFA.net, The Stand. And I'm not talking about just simply being, well, God is in control, and then we go about it. I don't like people that give glib remarks about that sort of thing. It needs to come from a place of experiential trusting in God in this and say, okay, here's where I have seen him. You like that hymn, Great is Thy Faithfulness? You know why you like that hymn, if you do? Because it anchors you back into something that is more eternal. I don't know. I'll never forget when Gracie would made the decision to give up her leg, her first leg. And this was way back, almost 30 years ago. And she said, I don't know what's on the other side of that operating room door, but I know who is there for me. Because he has sustained me through many dangers, toils, and snares. We are not promised a pain-free life. We are not promised a life that is not filled with scary things. We are promised companionship. He will not abandon us. We use common sense. We use good safety measures. We educate ourselves. But anybody that is promising you a rose-colored path on this thing will lie about other things too. And I'll never forget that. I'll never forget that guy looking up to Bill Clinton, of all people, saying, be a father to us. Are you kidding me? That is not the direction for asking for somebody to pay. I mean, I'm flabbergasted. I can't even speak on that. When I see that, I was just watching. I thought, this guy, and I thought, what a bunch of nonsense. We have a father. And if you don't know him, today's a great day to start. We have a father who understands all of these things. He understands what it's like to watch somebody be wheeled in a gurney down into surgery for the umpteenth time. We have a father who does not reject you. We have a father who will be with you and sustain you. We have a father who is deeply concerned about you. And if you ever look to a politician or anybody else for that matter to put them in the place of God, it will be a disaster for you or a nation. Every single time. Every time. And I know that some people, you know, they question the goodness of God. Is God good? How could he allow this? How could he do this? Why would he do this? You know what? This world is broken. And as I sit here in Montana and I'm looking out at absolute pristine beauty, the sun is coming up and I'm looking at snow-covered peaks. Grass is just starting to grow for spring out here. We're way up high, about 6,000 feet. Deer are starting to appear. And scripture says that every bit of this is groaning. Every bit of this is groaning. All creation is groaning. It doesn't mean that there's not beauty in it. It doesn't mean that there's not scenes that say, wow, in it. I was doing a video conference somebody the other day, and I said, I want you all to look at what I'm looking at. And I turned the camera so they could see it, and they all went, wow. I said, you're saying wow over something that is groaning. As beautiful as this is, it's still groaning. And guess what? When I look at you, when you look at me, we can say wow because of what God is doing, but we're still groaning, but there's still beauty, but we're still groaning, but there's still joy, but we're still groaning, but there's still peace. It's broken. It's being restored. It's being renewed. So are you, and so am I. And we trust him in this. And how do we know that we trust him? How do we know that we can trust him with this? Now, that's a better question. Because that's when we see the cross. That's when we see that God condescended to us, knowing there was no way. He knew we were afraid. He knew we were broken. He knew this whole thing was messed up. And he condescended to us, became like us, lived it, and went to the cross. So if you want to say be a father to us, don't look to a politician. Look to the Father. That's the whole purpose. And if you go back and look at the life of Christ, look at the words that he said. Look how many times he talked about his Father. And if you want to see the Father, you look at Christ. And there's no way to the Father but Christ. Somebody asked that once of a politician. And I was amazed at the answer because they were like, is Jesus the only way to heaven? And the politician stumbled around that conversation. And all he had to do was say, well, you know what? Jesus says he's the only way to heaven. He seems to think so. And he's the one that paid the price for us to be able to go. I'm going to put my trust in him. I know you're afraid. I know a lot of us are. A lot of businesses are just in dire circumstances. I get it. There are fear-worthy things out there. There really are barbarians at the gate. Go back and look at King Hezekiah. When he got a letter that says, I'm coming to just blast you all, from this king of Assyria, I believe it was. Sennacherib, I'm not sure. Don't quote me on that. But I know it was Hezekiah. And he was just tore up about it. We'll talk about that in a minute. Because what he did was extraordinary. 888-589-8840. 888-589-8840. This is Peter Rosenberger. This is Hope for the Caregiver. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Hope for the Caregiver here on American Family Radio. I am Peter Rosenberger. This is the nation's number one show for you as a family caregiver. We are glad to have you with us. How are you feeling? How are you doing? How are you holding up through all this craziness? We're talking about fear today. We're talking about surrendering that fear to people or looking to God. Psalm 56:3, when I'm afraid, I put my trust in you. When I'm afraid, I put my trust in you. Who are you putting your trust in? Who are you putting your trust in? How are you dealing with this? And this is what has happened with our country. We've got a situation where we have allowed ourselves to, out of fear, surrender a lot more freedom. And these are bad things. This is not good because there are small people out there that love to gobble up authority and take your freedom and start running your life through this. Okay, they're out there. If you don't look around, just turn on the news briefly, then turn it back off, and you'll see it. And this happened to a friend of mine. And somebody told somebody in authority that they were coming, and the guy showed up with a clipboard and said, hey, there's people coming in your store. We got a report. And he said, well, who gave the report? He said, well, we can't tell you. It's anonymous. And there's a police officer there. And then the guy wanted him to sign the thing that he gave me. He said, here's the rules that we want you to sign. And he offered him a pen. He said, wait a minute, you come over here to tell me that I can't have people come into my own business, allegedly that I'm doing this. He didn't admit or deny it. He just said, allegedly that it's going on. And then you're wanting to get up close to me and hand me your unwashed pen to sign your paper. I got my own pen. Thank you. Step back. So the guy wasn't even being consistent with his own rules, but he liked to tell other people how to do it. And this is what's going to happen over and over and over the more we surrender our freedom because of fear. Somebody called a minute ago, wanted to know about my wife, what's going on with her. She is now free of the virus. She tested negative now. She does have the antibodies that she developed. They did that on her as well, but she punched through it. She got through it. And they want to know why is she in so much pain. Gracie had a tremendous car wreck 37 years ago that busted her up pretty bad. They stopped counting at 200 brakes, and she's had 80 surgeries. And takes 1 year to recover from major surgery. And she's on 80 that we know of. Her body was orthopedically just a train wreck and still is, and we're dealing with all kinds of stuff. And so she lives with a lot of scar tissue that creates all kinds of issues. You know, you've heard the old saying, if you break your leg, you can always tell whether the weather's going to change. Well, multiply that times 200. All right, so that's the short version on that. And so I thank you for calling and checking her. She's okay. She's hanging in there. She's a very tough gal, and she's strong. But I want to get back to this topic that we're talking about, of fear and what this means to us. And C.S. Lewis said years and years and years ago, the worst kind of tyranny is that which says we're going to do this for your own good. Have you heard any of that on the news? This is for your own good. This is for your own good. And we're finding out more and more and more about the duplicitous behavior of these world government type of things. It's always, always going to have that component of this is for your own good. This is for the children. This is for, you know, come on. It's not the way it works. You know, the United States form of government was copied. They tried to incorporate a lot of the Presbyterian form of government and the way the Presbyterian Church is set up, because the Presbyterian Church set up their structure, their government structure, with a full understanding of the depravity of man. And so there's lots of checks and balances. That's why our government is set up this way of checks and balances, because the founding fathers already had an example set up with reform Presbyterian type form of government that recognized the depravity of man. The heart of a man is not a place that you want to put your trust and hope in, because that's just, look at it. How's that working out? And so there has to be these checks and balances in place. And when those things are not in place and the government is unleashed on people, what do you think you get? I teased you a little bit with Hezekiah. He got a letter that the kingdom was going to be, this is when he was the king of Judah in the southern kingdom. And he was going to be attacked, and it was just a horrible description of what is about to happen. And he took that letter, and he went into the temple and just laid down in the temple. He held the letter out basically to God, said, I don't know what to do. And God sent Isaiah to him to speak the word of the Lord, said, this is what's going to happen. But he took it to God. He went to the temple, and he just laid it out before God. He said, I don't know what to do. This is that moment where we have, as an individual and as a nation, are we going to be panicked and freaked out? Are we going to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord? It doesn't mean that you're not going to have unpleasant things that you got to walk through or be wheeled into. My wife will be the first person to tell you that, as she surrendered both of her legs through this journey of recovery from this terrible wreck she had many years ago. There are very painful things that we're going to walk through. There's a reason he said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Because there is a valley of the shadow of death. And sometimes it's a very long valley. And sometimes it's a very scary valley. But I'm not going to ask a politician to be a father to me. Like that ponytail guy did years ago in that presidential debate when he looked at Bill Clinton. Be a father to us. Politicians are not going to be with you in the valley of the shadow of death. There's only one that promised that. And anybody else that tries to take that place, get away from them. There's only one. Susie in Louisiana. Good morning, Susie. How are you feeling?
Good morning. I'm great. I'm with you 100% on this fear. Because the Bible says I didn't give you the spirit of fear.
What did he give us?
He gave us peace.
Well, no, finish that sentence. He didn't give us a spirit of fear, but power, love,
And what?
A sound mind.
That's right.
Do you think that we're functioning with a sound mind as a country right now?
No. I was raised a preacher's kid. And people
I'm one with you.
Yeah, people go to church 3 times a week. They can go 12 times a day if they want to. But when it comes down to something like this, they don't possess what they profess. It's just simple as that. If I brought you a little sprout and I said, look, this is the most delicious orange tree you have ever tasted. Well, you don't know if it's an orange tree till you plant it. And then it gives you oranges. It might give you lemons, but you don't know that till it starts bearing fruit. And that's what's happening.
I think it's one of those times where we're able to walk out. Now, what do we really believe?
That's right.
And it's disheartening that our churches were closed, but our abortion clinics were open.
That's right. It breaks my heart.
It is indeed. But you know what? That's getting ready to change. And
Absolutely. And what the devil meant for evil, God will turn around for good.
Well, if he's Lord at all, he's Lord of all.
That's absolutely
true. And nothing is happening that is outside of his hands.
No.
God doesn't smack his forehead and say, oh, how did this one get away from me?
No.
You know, so that's something that we, as believers, it's time for us to start. What do we believe? Christian, what do you believe?
That's right.
And he gave us a sound mind. We could use good common sense. We could practice good, safe measures. I put on a seatbelt when I get in a car.
Mm-hmm.
That's common sense.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have to be, but I'm not in fear as I'm driving around in my car. And I'm moving at very high speeds and trusting that this car is going to do what I want it to do and that the driver coming my other way is going to do what I want him to do. We're using good common sense, practicing safety, but at the same time, we're not living in fear. But Susie, I thank you so much for the call. Really appreciate it. And thank you for listening. And it means a lot that you took the time to call. This is the whole point. As believers, Christian, what do you believe? She's right. He didn't give us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. How much sound mind are you seeing? I was watching a guy, I don't do this often because if you watch cable news too much, it'll make you just barking mad. But I was watching one of the guys on cable news just have a kind of a meltdown. And I thought, dude, this ain't about you. You're a reporter. You know, grow up. Give people the facts and point them to safety of what this looks like. But don't get up there and just, this is not your therapy session. We're not here to watch you break down and start crying and acting like an idiot. You know, honestly, grow up. But, you know, it's very disheartening to see how quickly we surrendered to fear. And I get it. I understand that there are scary things. Gracie and I have looked at harsh realities. We've faced death many times with her. But what does he say about these things? What does Scripture say about it? And do we believe this? And if we do believe it, how would people know? This is Hope for the Caregiver. 888-589-8840. 888-589-8840. This is Peter Rosenberg. We'll be right back.
Have you ever struggled to trust God when lousy things happen to you? I'm Gracie Rosenberger, and in 1983, I experienced a horrific car accident leading to 80 surgeries and both legs amputated. I questioned why God allowed something so brutal to happen to me, but over time, my questions changed, and I discovered courage to trust God. That understanding, along with an appreciation for quality prosthetic limbs, led me to establish Standing with Hope. For more than a dozen years, we've been working with the government of Ghana and West Africa, equipping and training local workers to build and maintain quality prosthetic limbs for their own people. On a regular basis, we purchase and ship equipment and supplies, and with the help of inmates in a Tennessee prison, we also recycle parts from donated limbs. All of this is to point others to Christ, the source of my hope and strength. Please visit standingwithhope.com to learn more and participate in lifting others up. That's standingwithhope.com. I'm Gracie, and I am Standing with Hope.
He will be strong to deliver me safe, and the joy of the Lord is mine.
Welcome back to Hope for the Caregiver here on American Family Radio. This is Peter Rosenberger. This is the nation's number one show for you as a family caregiver. We are so glad to have you with us. Do you believe that? The joy of the Lord is our strength. Do you believe that? That is Gracie singing that with Russ Taft. Do you believe that? If so, how would other people know that? How will they know? It doesn't mean that you're going to have a pain-free life, that you're healthy and wealthy. People that promise you that kind of stuff are selling something. It means that he's going to sustain you through this. Go back to Paul and Silas. Paul and Silas were stripped naked and beaten, thrown in a prison, and around midnight they were singing hymns. Now, that's a clear evidence that people are holding on to something that is far greater than their circumstances. Far greater than their circumstances. That's what the joy of the Lord is our strength looks like. How are you holding up with this? And we're talking about fear today. We're talking about what we can do as believers when we're faced with these things and what the disastrous implications of giving up our freedom because of fear. I understand common sense. I understand these things. And we got to use common sense. God did not give us a spirit of fear. He gave us power, love, and a sound mind. Now, how much power, how much love, and how much sound mind do you see being displayed across the country? On the media, in Congress, at the White House briefings. How much power, how much love, and how much sound mind? We have taken the world's greatest economy and to ourselves we crippled it out of fear. And you say, well, Peter, that's easy for you to say. Is it? My wife had the virus. She's come through it. I took care of her through it. I'm not in any way diminishing the impact. There are scary things out there. There are real painful things out there. But I watched this rush because of fear. And anytime you see a nation acting out of fear, anytime you see a nation acting out of fear, go back to Scripture and look what happened when the nation acted out of fear. Go back and look at the people of Israel through their journey. God knew they were afraid. He kept telling them over and over, don't be afraid, I'm here. But their fear got the best of them. And he off. And he said, look, you're not going to go into the promised land. And when Joshua took over from Moses, go back and look at that. Look at the first chapter of Joshua. Don't be afraid. Be strong and courageous. Courage is not the absence of fear. It is being willing to, you know, look at these firemen and first responders and rescuers. They go into tough situations. They run, and police officers run towards gunfire. It's not that they're not afraid, but they're trusting in their training. They're trusting in their ability to go into that situation with a greater purpose. Are we doing that as believers? Or are we just basically sheep in sheep's clothing? These are things that are important for us to ask ourselves and collectively ask the body of Christ. Does the body of Christ, do Christians behave differently in these situations? What does that look like? I go back again. I've said it many times. I was sitting there with Gracie. We're both masked up. We're down there at the ER. They have to sequester her away. We're in a very small town in a little small community hospital. She was the first one in our county to get this. She went to a specialist several hundred miles away and got this. And they bring her down there. We thought at first it was strep. They bring her down. They have to do all these things. Everybody's, we don't know what's going on with this. And I looked at her and I said, are you afraid? And she honestly replied, a little bit, but I've been through worse. That was her first response, was to go there. I've been through worse. And she has seen God sustain her through these things. And she'll be the first to tell you. And then that's when she started singing. I got it on video. You can see it on our podcast. Go out to hopeforthecaregiver.com and just look at the podcast. It's a free podcast. Just go look at it. And she's singing in Christ alone. I place my trust and find my glory in the power of the cross. And it's okay to borrow courage from other people. That's the whole point of it. Hebrews 11 gives you a whole litany of people who by faith did such and such, by faith did such and such. But you go up, keep reading in the book of Hebrews, and it says, remember those who spoke the word of the Lord to you when appropriate, imitate their faith. Whose faith are you imitating? That's why history is so important. That's why it's so important for us to go back and read these things so that we are not bound to repeat them and slaves to repeat them. There are principles that we can glean from those who've gone before us. This isn't the first time that the world has faced a global pandemic. And if our headspace is to constantly just rush off of a cliff like a bunch of lemmings, what's going to happen the next time? Next thing comes. And the next thing. Because there's going to be stuff. It's going to come. It's going to happen. You know, if we need to, there are a lot of people don't want to take vaccines for stuff. There are a lot of people don't want to do this. I'm not going to get into that argument. That's not where my headspace is. I use common sense. I get in a car, I put it on seatbelt. Okay? If I'm on a plane, the flight attendant says, put your seatbelt on. Guess what? I put my seatbelt on. I'm not an idiot. Use common sense. You know, you get out on I like to go out in the forest on ATVs or snowmobiles. You know, use a helmet. I go out in the cold. I dress for the warm, the cold so that I don't get out there and freeze. I mean, it's common sense. Power, love, and a sound mind. That's what a sound mind will teach you. You're around sick people, you wash your hands. I've been around enough hospitals. I've been around enough nurses. I've been around enough. I remember one time that a nurse was taking care of Gracie. And this is back during AIDS was still a lot more on the front page than it is today. It's hard, we hardly ever talk about it. now, but that was all everybody talked about in the 80s and in the 90s. And a nurse came in and she was just so distraught. And she had gotten a stick, a needle, and she was taking care of a patient. And that was an incredibly frightening thing for her. And we recognized that. And Gracie, from her hospital bed, she just had surgery, was praying and caring for this woman. She got tested. She got okay. And she made it through this. But it was a very frightening thing. We don't dismiss how frightening things are. There are frightening things out there. But we have a Savior. And that Savior does not get elected to office. That Savior doesn't have a badge and a clipboard. He has a cross and he has a crown. Do we act like this? Does the world know this about us? Does the world marvel at this? Do they see us facing these things with a sense of joy and strength, knowing that he is working in all of these things? And yes, they're painful. And yes, there are tears. I'm going to have an article this weekend on Fox News, a commentary about a time to weep and a time to laugh. And go back and look into Ecclesiastes. There's a time for everything under heaven, to mourn, to dance. These are things that are important for us to remember when we're disoriented, when we don't know what to do, when we don't know what's going on. Always anchor yourself back in Scripture. Go back and look at it. Spend some time. Think it through. I'm not able to get all the phone calls here, and I'm sorry for that. Let me try to grab one in. Don in Arkansas. Don, good morning. How are you feeling?
Well, I say so-so. I'm getting along, and in spite of the shutdown, I think I'm doing pretty good. One thing I wanted to share is Dr. Richard Land, forced his kids to watch the film Judgment at Nuremberg. It's made in 1961, black and white, about 3 hours, but it showed the aftermath of the Third Reich and how it affected the German people. And I think that we would do well to heed their history.
Hello. Those who do not remember the past are doomed to repeat it. Don, thank you very much for the call on that. And I appreciate you calling in, and I hope that you'll have a better day on it. The joy of the Lord is our strength, Don. And thanks so much for the call. This is Hope for the Caregiver. This is Peter Rosenberg. This is the show for you as a family caregiver. How are you feeling? How are you doing? We're going to point you to safety. There's more at hopeforthecaregiver.com. Take advantage of it. Go out there. Do not try to do this alone. And you're not alone. We'll see you next week. hopeforthecaregiver.com.